His name is David Luke Fladman, Commander of the Armies of the West, General of the Somerset Regions, loyal servant to the true Emperor, Thomas George Llewellyn Shanklin, father to a noisy cat, husband to a vegan, and he will have a salad in this life or the next. It's time for Flats and Shanks.
Let's rock. Let's do this, yeah? This is going to be, this one going to be serious.
Keep okay? Energy high.
Energy high, high energy, high energy, high energy. Right. Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 11 of our weekly podcast. I'm David Flatman.
That you are. I'm Tom Shanklin.
Okay, boy.
Good start. Good intro.
Do you reckon it was all right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I feel like I wondered if it was a bit flat.
One of our best.
Flatman.
One.
I wondered if I'd shanked it a bit.
Stop it.
Christ. Christ, Jeebus. Right, I think you better tell them where we are, Tom, because we look like doggers.
We are at Magor Services. I didn't want to tell people where we were.
I know, but I'm open and honest. It's what I'm about.
Yeah, but I didn't want us to look like we're some sort of rag-ass United. That's the problem. You know, I wanted to make it look like we're this neat, slick outfit that uses soundproof rooms.
Tom.
We kit it all out like Dexter, so there's no blood or traces.
Polythene-lined Land Rover.
And then we burn it.
Llewellyn's your middle name. Busy is mine. Okay. When we explain our schedules, people will know why we're here.
Yeah. Okay? Very true.
So we are in my car, in the services car park, just past the bridge, Severn Bridge.
Magor Services.
Magor. We thought about doing this in the car before for convenience, and then my mate Harry Allen at BT Sport, well, Sunset and Vine, the production company actually, but he worked BT Sport, you know. He said, you know what you should do if you guys are busy? You should try it in your car. So here we go.
This is it. Cemented it as the first one we've done in the car. We've got the hazards on and David's window in the driver's seat is halfway down. I'm not sure what that means.
And I'm flashing my headlights twice every 30 seconds.
I think it means look, but don't touch. I don't know what it means.
Eyes on, hands off, okay?
Yeah.
But I like it. And as for not wanting people to think we're a Mickey Mouse outfit, we are absolutely a Mickey Mouse outfit. No, we're not.
No, we've moved up now.
Because of Sam Warburton.
Because of the Fuller's Diageo Guinness live podcast.
That's what we like, eh?
Because of some stuff in the pipeline that's going on there.
Don't tell them.
All right, I won't.
Don't tell them. In case it doesn't happen. I remember being in a changing room once before we move on. And they walked in and it was the front row. I think it was England A or something, or whatever it was. It was me, Chris Forty from Gloucester, and Phil Vickery from, you know, Phil Vickery. And he walked in and we're preparing for the game. And Chris Forty comes in. He said, I just had my ear in their change room. Listen to them. And we're playing against France, right? Before I could barely speak English. You know, they think we're mutes, that lot. They think we're a set of mutes. Vic's looked at me and he's rubbing like sticky gel into his hands. Sticky. He goes, we are mutes, aren't we? I said, we ain't far off, Bab. And then it was half time. We were getting dicked, right? We came back to win, actually, but we were getting dicked. And Richard Hill, the scrum half, was the coach, and he was like, I want bags of aggression. I want bags of this, bags of accuracy, and I want bags of enthusiasm. You got it? I want bags of enthusiasm. And he smashed the door and walked out. And Chris Forty just said, anyone got a spare bag? England A. Unbelievable.
But you won the game, though.
Oh, we destroyed them from memory. We might have lost, actually. I can't remember.
Everything happens for a reason. Well, anyway, where have you been, though? Why have I got to meet you a dodgy car park?
It's one of those things that when I say this, people are going to think I'm complaining about my professional life, and I'm not. I'm very grateful. But every now and again, as much as I enjoy my job, like anyone else's job, it gets in the way of certain other things. And today is my daughter's 8th birthday, and a lovely birthday party at the swimming pool at her school, and all of her friends stayed over last night, and this lovely, all that sort of lovely stuff. And to celebrate it, I went to the Medeski Stadium in Reading to watch London Irish Bath, which was largely a pile of absolute rubbish. And wherever it was, even if I'd been at England, Australia, I would rather have been at home, frankly. So I'm very, very grateful for the work, and I did enjoy my day, but I just wanted to I wanted to get the pod done tonight, being Sunday night, so that I can have a full day tomorrow and I can take my daughters to school and I can pick them up and I can barbecue a 3 kilo beef brisket that I've got defrosting in the kitchen at the moment. Because it's just November's the busiest month of the year. That's all.
Swimming party for 8 year old. Like, yeah. You must have, not all 8 year olds can swim though.
In England they can.
Oh, can they?
In England, yeah.
Do the parents get in the pool?
No, it's, England's just different because parents actually take part in their children's upbringing rather than just giving them iPads.
Okay.
Am I generalising?
No, not at all. I just I wondered why you had a snorkel and a mask in the back seat. Bet you are gutted, aren't you?
And the rope is just lane dividers. That's all that is.
Oh, well, yeah. I haven't had quite the same day as you. I've been crazy golf, treetops golf in Cardiff.
On your own?
Yeah. Don't bring kids to that.
No.
And then I went to watch Paddington 2.
On your own?
Yeah, obviously.
Mark Durden Smith called it one of the best films he's ever seen. Just, he wasn't joking.
Just trying to get a bit of time to myself. No, I didn't. I took my kids. Paddington 2, yeah, it's probably the best film you've ever seen if you're under 10 years old.
I'd
agree with that. Yeah.
But when I was 10, I was watching Absent Without Leave, Kickboxer and Bloodsport, Van Damme.
Basic Instinct, I was. I definitely watched that when I was like 14 or 15.
Hey, no jokes, right? My mum didn't know what
she
it was.
It.
We
no,
stopped.
No,
she modelled herself. And she stopped us watching it because she was like, "Oh, I didn't realise it was a rude film." So turned it off. Didn't see any of it. And the next morning, I woke up early, snuck downstairs, put the video in, and I saw the bit where she opens her legs.
Yeah.
And just after that bit, my mum steamed into the sitting room and she's like, "You watching?" I was like, "No, I didn't realise what it was." Taking it off the shelf, put it in press. But I didn't, honestly, mum, I didn't know. I thought it, you know, I thought it was.
It's a niche. I got a niche down there, mum.
I thought it was Grease 2.
Yeah. It's a thriller. It's a thriller that has a few sex scenes in it. I remember going to the.
What, Paddington 2?
Yeah. Well, the bear's not got any clothes on. He's got a hat on.
Bear thriller.
Do you remember going to the old video shops when you used to have to get videos out and like trying to pretend you're older, like practicing your date of birth the whole way?
Yeah, 21, 174.
What's your date of birth? It used to panic me. Who's it?
10, 10, 75. All right, mate. Yeah.
75. What? You're 21 years old. You can't even grow a moustache.
Oh, hang on. I'm just going to go for a beer and a fag. Can I get this video out first?
Gone are those days, eh? Stream everything now.
Yeah.
But don't do it illegally, okay? Because you're ruining the music and the film industry.
I don't actually stream anything.
Nor do I.
I don't.
Netflix is streaming.
No, but you know what I mean? I don't do anything illegal.
Sinner's good on Netflix, isn't it?
I've got no morals on that stuff, but I don't do it because I can't be arsed with all the techie stuff and it all going wrong and downloading feeds and that.
Yeah, if I did it for you, you'd watch it, certainly. But
yep.
Sinner was very good on Netflix. I finished that. Powered through that in about 3 days.
Sinner, yeah. There is one really, well, there's a few. It's very disturbing. The thing I found most disturbing was the mum in Sinner, the super religious mum, blaming her daughter for everything when the daughter didn't know better. I found that really hard to
try
watch,
not to spoil it for people that have watched.
Yeah,
haven't
I found
watched
really,
it.
And then when the two sisters get it on, that was a bit amazing. Sorry, awkward.
What are these strange feelings I'm getting?
That's a bit awkward. What have you been up to?
Not really much this week. I did something for DS Smith because I'm an ambassador for them. We had
the bin men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we're more than bin men, mate. We're predominantly a packaging company. It's
bin
part
persons.
Of a group.
You bin
it's
persons.
Part of, it's part of a group. Do you get inside? Yeah, I get inside the bin. Have a look around. That's what someone asked me before. But we had it was like a annual people excellence awards in the Ricoh Stadium.
Right.
Which there were no awards, so everyone was a winner that was there.
Oh, God.
I had a bit of team bond, building stuff and bonding. We did some activities.
That was at the Ricoh, was it?
We did some Pub Olympics, which I thought were going to be like Bar Luge, which can be bolting pints, but it was like Scaletrics and Jenga, giant Jenga and table football. So we did a lot of that. And then
low risk.
We had a dinner in the evening, but it was quite good in the evening because there was a casino which is attached to the Ricoh.
Yeah.
And they put some free games on for those that wanted free games.
And then for a big hitters like you, you just waded in with your own pack cash.
Yeah.
You folded, got in there.
10 minutes, out of there.
Yeah. Lose it all?
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. Gone. Some kids didn't eat at the weekend.
That's right.
And then I was with you then at the RAC Club. First time I've ever been there in Pall Mall. Lovely place. Walked in there. Wasn't
bit
quite
swanky,
sure. Very swanky. Doesn't look like anything from the outside, but when you get in there, I walked downstairs, they got a swimming pool, they've got a barber's, no use to me, squash courts. You can only use your phone in these little telephone booths, can't you?
Yeah.
They've got no telephones in there, but they're just these little booths.
You have to wear
booths.
A shirt and tie as well?
Yep. Yeah, I wore a flat out suit, looked like, yeah, I don't know, well, looked very professional, and then you turn up in like tweed jacket and trousers.
I've been going to the RAC on Pall Mall for so long.
You could have said a jacket would have done, mate.
I don't worry, as long as I've got a jacket, shirt and tie, I'm not too worried. But it's a great lunch, that, isn't it? I do it every year.
I'd have got a Moss Bros to get a suit and everything.
Yeah,
of course. Hide it. Send it back. But yeah, it was a lovely lunch.
Mm.
Well done on the auction. Well done on hosting.
Hey, well done.
Lovely food as well.
Well done on your Q&A. Very nice.
A few Welsh there.
Yeah, I had three lunches in the end, didn't I?
Safety in numbers.
I didn't eat the potato from all the lunches. I just ate the lamb. But the night before that, I was at Kennedy's Law, like a law firm in the city, and did an after dinner thing with Andy Goode, a.k.a. Alan Goon. And usually you go...
Why'd you call him Alan, mate?
When we're in Miami on Mike Tyndall's stag, he developed an alter ego. The less we say about that, the better, okay?
Okay.
But it was very important that he maintained his... No, it was fine. I forget what it was, but he was like a governor of the state of Texas called Alan Goon or something. That's what we marketed him as, because he looked like a redneck.
Yeah, I'll give him that.
So we did that, and you know, you go...
He would like suit a jumper, wouldn't he, where you've just cut off the sleeves and turned into a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's effectively what he looks like naked. So we did this like an afternoon. They said, can you just do a Q&A and that sort of stuff? And it was really good fun. 1 hour and 50 minutes.
Wow.
Q&A. I've never done one that lasted 50 minutes before.
Hour and 50?
Hour and 50. And in the end, we were like, enough. And it was great fun. It was really, really good fun. And they were lovely people. But usually you go to a law firm in the city and there will be some rugby fans, some don't care. Every single person in that room loved rugby. Every single one. And they just wanted to know stuff. And some of it was fun. Some of it was insight, whatever. And he went on, and we were like, look, we're happy to keep going. It was really nice, dude. We had venison, very, very nice. Some nice red wine, you know.
Were they talking about like stuff like the grassroots of English rugby and nauseating and stuff like that? Or
what do you reckon we should do to make it safer for kids and get higher attendance rate for kids? And how do we keep kids in sport? It's like, mate, I don't care. I only care about the top 0.0001%, i.e. elite pros. I don't even care about Div 1.
Yeah, who's got a question on longest in the showers?
Yeah, who's got... I'm not here to talk about Deodora. Do you know what I mean? So, no, it was very, very nice. But yeah, busy old time, and, you know, you got to dig in and get grafting, haven't you?
Mate, you got to strike while iron's hot. I've always said that. We better get on to some rugby results. What a weekend of sport.
Of rugby,
should I say.
That is the worst start to a section we've ever had in 2 years. You're not allowed to redo it. Sport.
Yeah. The computer put me off, you know. I was just making sure it was being recorded. But I'll edit that. What a weekend, Flats, of rugby we've had. Loved it.
Started like this, ready? Oh, God. So tell me about it. Anyway, what a weekend, huh?
Turn the key and the car started first time. Oh, God.
Oh, three of them sisters, probably. Yeah. Anyway,
I'm just watching. So we'll start off with Wales, Georgia. I went to the game.
Cheat.
I went to the game to cover the game for BBC Radio Wales, purely so I could get in without queuing, because I did one of the fiasco of last week.
Yeah. Was there a fiasco this week for the public?
Oh, no, not on your media, mate.
No, but for La Publique, was it the same again?
Don't even care. Gone past caring. Yeah, don't affect me.
Yeah.
Got no interest. Now, what a game that was. Absolutely loved it.
Wales, Georgia.
I enjoyed the first half. There was a lot of changes.
Did you?
Yeah, there was a lot of changes in this team. Now, whether or not he should have made as many changes, I don't think so. Now, people always harp on about Wales.
He being Warren Sam Warburton's dad. Yeah, Sam Warburton's dad.
Now, a lot of people are saying Warren Gatland's not blooded enough youngsters. Now, there was a lot of changes for the first week for Australia. Mm. And you look at Steph Evans coming in, Owen Williams coming in, Navidi, Shingler. So there's a lot of changes. It wasn't a settled team. So possibly I don't think there should have been another 14 changes on top of that. Because we're blooded youngsters in that first game. And it's about getting a little bit of momentum. And
into the hardest game most of these lads will ever play.
Against New Zealand. So they're in a no-win situation, really, because... What do you expect? 14, a totally new team, a totally new look new team to come in and just put a team like Georgia away. It's never really going to happen. Saying that, though, there's quite a few opportunities that Wales missed. They looked good at the start, okay? They looked good when they were going side to side. They were using forwards as ball players in a 10 channel, putting it behind dummy forwards back to a 10 or a 12.
Doing a Mako, I call it.
Yeah, very similar to that. And Leon Brown did that a couple of times.
Some athlete, Leon Brown.
Looked pretty good in the loose. But just didn't take chances. Now, Halame scored a nice try at the start of the game. Again, it was nice interplay from the backs. Mm. Scott Williams puts it behind Owen Watkins back to the 10 running round. Mm. And Priestland manages to loop a pass to Halame who finished it very well. There were a couple of instances. The ball was ripped out of one of the Georgians' hands. Eventually goes to Halame, but because, I'm not sure who it was, it might have been Nicky Smith, rips the ball out of the attacker, the attacking Georgian. That is deemed as a knock-on. So they brought it all the way back for that. There was another instance where there's an overthrow off the back of the line-out. Christian Dacey flicks it, but the ball goes back.
Yeah.
Reece Priestland picks it up and was through, but the ref called it back. I thought the ref wasn't very good at all during that game.
Can you stop criticising referees, please?
I'll do what I want. Okay, I won't. But they're trying to play this new brand of rugby, and it's not going to happen overnight because Wales were so intent on playing this 10-man rugby. You know, they've got a new philosophy now where they want to get in the wide channels. Players were taking their own space, which was good to see. They weren't crowding around the ball carrier. But it's going to take time. And this isn't the first team. You know, this is essentially a Wales A team that was playing at the weekend.
Yeah.
But the thing is now, leading up to New Zealand, you know, there's not much consistency in selection. So.
Hang on, just to stop, there's someone walking past us with the dog, and he keeps pretending not to look at us. Do you see?
It's always
he's done
mate.
Quite a good job there. He gave us a couple of right.
If you
want to
stalk,
looks.
Or if you want to,
there he goes. Look, see him looking back, then pretending he wasn't. See him.
Always get a dog if you want to stalk.
Yeah.
Or kids. So, not the greatest of games, but I wasn't too bothered because it's not a reflection really of where Wales are at.
Okay, so I got back home last night from HQ and watched it, and allegedly, I'm trying to make sure I don't get into any trouble. Not that I'm sure Warren Gatland, Robin McBride, Sean Edwards or Rob Howley listen to this podcast.
I reckon someone from the WRU media would.
Somebody would, and in my opinion, allegedly unproven, that's flat out cheating at the end.
Say
the
IMO, it's quicker.
IMO, IMHO, flat out cheating at the end. In the scrum.
So flat again.
Getting pasted in the scrum. Yeah, getting pasted in the scrum. Leon Brown. It's tough game.
Hold on. They were going pace in the scrum in the first half. They weren't so much in the second half.
Hey, let me get... I'll get there, mate.
Okay, boy.
I'll get there, boy. Getting pasted in the scrums. Expectedly, because Leon Brown, I love the look of him, but that's a very, very tough game. There are some of the best tighters in the world would have struggled in that game. I actually thought he got better and better as it went on, and what I did like was that it didn't... Getting hammered in the scrum didn't seem to massively affect his game elsewhere, so he wasn't just thinking, my world's exploding, my world's falling in, there's nothing I can do, it's all over. And he definitely got better. And there were a couple of penalties where I thought, do you know what, I would have given that. But he was complaining about it, and I thought, I think he's almost got a case, because he properly dug in. And I like the fact that he fired into them and kept going. Anyway, he wasn't as strong on the day as they were expectedly. They're the best of the scrum in the world, right? So... there's that. So they bring on Tom Francis, Exeter Chiefs prop, and he massively solidifies things. Having not scrummaged brilliantly last week, he scrummaged really well this week, probably because he's running on against the best scrum in the world, who have pasted Wales for the last hour. And he's thinking, he is just so full of adrenaline, or he's bricking it, or he's pumped, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes that is when you produce your best work. Of course it is. He did a really good job in the scrum, really good. Then he made a crazy decision at a breakdown near his own line. Gets a yellow card. I mean, it was a crazy thing to do, taking out the nine like that. But of course, then it leads to the whole... Everyone at home knows this, but it leads to the whole debacle around, hang on a minute, they're going to take the scrum 5 yards out. And I would have bet, you know, if they'd have brought Leon Brown back on and been a man down in the scrum, or put a back in, so as good as a man down, I would have bet my mortgage on them getting a 7-pointer and drawing that game. So the two starting props of Wales are warming up on the sideline. Someone tells them you're meant to be injured, lad, so you can't come back on. They scurry back to their seats or wherever they go. It's flat out, it's an absolute debacle. And if they'd have come back, you know, so they, you know, we all know what's happened, right? So this has happened before. There is form here. So I had a few people tweeting me saying, yeah, it's just like France did it. France did it recently, didn't they? Was it in the Six Nations? France did it.
20 minutes of extra time.
Yeah, France did it and all that stuff. It's like, no. This happened way before that. We talked about it on the pod before. Tell you, this is as far as I know, this is the reason or one of the primary reasons that the 8-man bench was brought in with a full front row on the bench, because people kept going uncontested because of inverted commas injured props.
That's right.
And basically depowering more powerful scrums, taking away the advantage. Now, we've talked about this before, but for the benefit of anyone who hasn't listened to every single one of our pods, don't blame you.
I blame you.
What
do
it.
You
do it, yeah. You know, this happened when I was playing at Bath and we had a particularly strong scrum for a good few seasons. Guess what team did it the most or were absolutely famous for doing it across the Premiership and across Europe?
So a team that was probably not as good at, not very strong scrummages?
Wasps.
Okay.
Right? It's Wasps. They were famous for doing it. They had some really good props, but when those props went off, sometimes they struggled, and sometimes they struggled anyway. And instead of digging in, I remember clearly, we've done this.
I remember talking about this, yeah.
I remember the prop or props in question hating it. They desperately wanted to get out there and fight because they're tough blokes. Okay, and even if they're losing out, they want to stand and fight. The coaches made these decisions. And who were the coaches? The same coaches that did it at the weekend. I, as you know, we both love Warren Gatland. Don't know Sean Edwards very well. What I know, I love, okay?
The problem you got is that they're claiming that Leon Brown had cramp.
Oh, come on. He's warming up. He's ready to go on. Look at him.
That's the problem, though. You can't prove it.
Of course you can't.
Similarly, same as France, Wales last year. You can never prove it that he was concussed.
What I would say to you is this, boy. If I am wrong, if all of us who think that's cheating are proven wrong, I would genuinely and gladly apologise for that, because I would love to be wrong. I just don't think I am, and I really don't like it.
I agree with you, mate. It did look very, very...
Suspicious. The thing is, they've cheated Georgia out of a draw against a Tier 1 nation. Okay, second team. A draw against... The potential draw against a massive team in front of the whole world.
When you mark a substitution card, you have to tick whether it's a tactical, whether it's blood, whether it's sin bin, or whether it's injury.
So how did they mark Leon Brown's card?
It was tactical. But then he claims that he was...
Got cramp
during the game.
Ah, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, it does. And it's a shame, really, because that sort of overshadowed the game, really. And that's what people are going to talk about, not talk about the likes. I thought Reece Preston had a really good game at 10.
Yeah.
Very good ball in hand. He's trying to get that. I reckon he's nearly there. The form he showed in the 2011 World Cup. His form has been very good for Bath. He's been keeping Freddie Burns out. He came in, he looked comfortable at 10. He looked like he'd been playing there a long time at that level. He kicked off the floor brilliantly and defended well, because probably that's something that's not the strongest in his game. But he was up, out the line, making tackles. Dan Lydiot, again, made loads of tackles.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
You're always going to get that with Dan Lydiot.
Did I read that it was 26 or something? He made 26 tackles or something. I mean,
yeah, it was up high like that. Way more than anyone else. But it's his attacking play that lets him down. Doesn't let him down, but...
It's
not his strength. He's not like Moriarty. He doesn't carry like someone like Moriarty would or Warburton would. But
he's an English Joe Worsley. He's a defensive machine.
But I love him because you know exactly what you get with him.
Yeah, and you always get it.
And he hits hard, and he was hitting those Jordans back. Big
you know time. You know what to expect, and you always get what you expect, you know, so he's very reliable, isn't he?
And I like Liam Williams at 15. Has to play 15.
Here's a question for you now on Wales before we move on.
Yo.
Two players... who 100% should have been playing against Georgia. Richard Hibbard from Gloucester. He is immense at the moment. He is absolutely immense all the time, and has been for ages. He's so good.
It seems like once the Welsh coach has got something in their head about not picking a player, that's it.
Maybe it's like the Alex Good thing, and it's just not what the coaches want. But I watch Hibbard and think, how can you not want that? He's amazing.
Yeah, I think if he was sort of 5-6 years younger, he'd be straight in there.
He's class. The other one is a bit of a shot, but Phil Dolman from Exeter Chiefs, brilliant again today. He's such a good player. He's so good.
He is, and he was on. He got selected for the tour last year, but injured himself.
But he's back in the same form, and then
he's quite an old bloke now, and they're looking towards the next World Cup. They're looking towards the future. It's very difficult when you hit form at an age like that where you've not had many caps, because they're thinking, well, yeah, he's playing well, but is he going to be the future of Welsh rugby? Are we going to develop him into the next World Cup? And thereafter. No, you're not.
Amen, sister.
Can you turn the lights back on the car, please?
Hang on, I've got to do the little button and then I've got to do the thing. Hang on.
Okay, so you were down in HQ for England, Australia.
Yeah.
Bet you weren't doing corporate.
I was, yeah. I had a lovely day, actually.
Was it?
Yeah. I did it. I hosted the HSBC suite at Twickenham.
Oh, yeah?
It's just brilliant fun. It's really, really nice. The food's really good. And they got loads of it, just basically unlimited amazing food. It just keeps coming. Nice. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I was with, excuse me, George Gregan and Graham Rowntree, two guys that I know George well now because of the corporate stuff we've done together. And he's just like, I mean, what an absolute pleasure to be with him all day. It's just great. And Graham Rowntree, I obviously know, and he's just a class bloke. And so we did a couple of turns up, you know, up in front of the guests and that sort of stuff, and it's just I loved it. And Sam Warburton came in pre-match as well, and he, as you know from the pod, you know him very well, but as everyone knows from the pod last week, he's just class. And like, you ask him stuff like, you know, let's go back to Wales, Australia last week, 13 in a row, you ask everyone, is it psychological, is it not? And he's like, mate, we just not good enough, that's what it is. If we're a better team, if we could play as well, you know, if we could do 80 minutes like they can, we'd beat them. They're just better than we are. So we need to work on strengthening. And he's just so upfront, and he's great. And of course, because he's done what he's done and he's doing what he's doing, you can't, you know, you can't knock him for that. So you can't knock him for anything he says, because it's kind of, yeah, you're kind of the gaffer, you know.
Anyway, so talk us through the game. 30 points to 6.
Crazy game. It's never a 30 points to 6 game. Of course it wasn't, but that's the way it goes. In short, you talk about it all day.
weather played a huge factor in that game.
Yeah, but it's like, I said to George after the game, it looks like it's never bloody rained in Australia. Like, those lads didn't know what the fuck they were doing. And a mate of mine texted me, who's a coach and a you know, elite coach, and he said it looks like Michael Checker did some wet weather tactical training as a last minute afterthought, and Eddie Jones planned for it all week. Such was the difference. And I kind of buy into that, but Australia played really well. They both teams properly chucked it about, properly ambitious despite the weather. Every time Australia made a break or did anything good, it was like bloody match fixing. Someone threw the ball on the floor. It was like, what are you doing, lads? Can't you just hang on to it? They kept chucking it on the floor.
Was the weather worse than it looked on TV?
Yes, it was really bad. Okay. But it's pretty similar for both teams as far as I can remember it. But, you know, but Kurunjani in the midfield, Karevi in the midfield, fantastic. And Will Genia was classed a couple of forward passes, but really trying to play flat, ripping that ball away, although his forwards didn't give him great ball. But it was really bizarre. But it was a bizarre game because it seemed to hinge or centre on... I was on Twitter for the whole game, so I watched it indoors, and all the fans and journalists are just saying, this is brutal. Australia are getting shafted. Guess what? Another hometown call. And Nick Evans, the All Black fly-off from Quinns, whose opinion you would absolutely respect over most people in the world, saying, guess what? Another hometown call, home team call. And and it's because I'm English, people think, well...
Slash Georgian.
You would say this, but let's look at the big decisions. You can say, oh, come on, it's rugby. Did Michael Hooper cease to advance or retreat before he was put onside? He was eventually put onside, having continued to advance. And then he then scores. You can't allow that. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's clearly an easy call. Was Stephen Moore accidentally? Yes. Was he in front of the man? So Chris Robshaw, did he impede Chris Robshaw making a tackle? 100%. There's no argument. And then you look at, can you say the ball for Elliot Daly's try? Can you conclusively say the ball hit the line? You cannot. It just, from one angle, was like, oh my God, definitely hit the line. Then they show the angle touchline side, and you're like, you absolutely cannot say that. So I'm standing with George Gregan. I said, tell me honestly what you think. And he said, all three of those big decisions, absolutely correct.
And Beals was a yellow card for slapping the ball down.
As much as
he was trying to say, he was flicking it up.
It's a clear yellow.
It was crazy because 13-6, right? 53 minutes gone. Karevi makes an amazing break. Throws it out the back door to Kurundrani, who drops it. It's then recycled.
Yeah.
And it was anybody's game then.
Yeah.
The ball bounces up, and who is it? Daly scores that try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But But Kirtley Beale's wandering over at about 3 miles an hour. It's really bizarre.
Same with Phipps for when Danny Kerr kicks
and,
it.
And Reece Hodge.
And kicks it for Jonathan Joseph. There's
ambling.
There's no urgency to get back. I was speaking off air to you that people get really excited when there's line breaks when they're attacking because they want to get on the end of it. They want to be part and try and help score a try or try and get on the end of it to score a try. It's you see how lazy people are when they're running back, ambling back because the kick's gone over your head.
Yep.
That's when you've got to be more urgent.
Absolutely. And do you know, a couple of things on that. As I said, I was at Irish today and the ball got pumped back by Bath quite a lot over London Irish's head. And I watched Alex Lewington, who's a player I've admired for a long
time.
Don't
give too much away because we're going to crack on with this.
All right. He was absolutely flat out getting back, constantly getting in the way, rescued him two or three times because of his work rate getting back. And do you remember when we were at Sarries, Brendan Daniel, you remember him, the winger, absolutely electric, the most electric winger in the league for Sarries that first season. He was just unplayable. His footwork was something else. Kiwi winger. And I remember him walking out of a contract meeting and ringing his wife or his girlfriend and saying, "I've been cut. We're out. And I was like, "What? I thought they're going to give you like 8 years on how much money you wanted because you're the best player in the team.
And you play the guitar."
Yeah. And they cut him. And I couldn't believe it. And I remember speaking to Francois Pienaar about it only as a young kid. And I said, why has he been cut? And he said, he only plays when he's got the ball. And he said, you can't coach into someone is a desire to run off the ball and to defend hard and to collide and to put the work in when no one's watching. He said, you can't coach that in. Yeah. And I remember him saying to me, it's particularly brutal, it was him or one of the coaches, and said, if someone said 50 quid or whatever it was, I bet you never hear from him again. And you kind of did. He went to Bath for a bit and came on loan and stuff. But that was kind of true. That was his best ever season. And they said he only works when he's on the ball.
Do you know what a pet hate of mine is when you're watching a game and you're in the stands or you're in a pub, and there's people who are shouting, "Don't kick it away. Why are you kicking it away?" Even when it's on.
Yeah.
Even when there's nothing on, they put a grubber through, they're kicking away. Duh. But I think Danny Kerr proved everybody wrong.
Yeah.
Three kicks, I think he had, and resulting in three tries.
Yeah, what an impact.
What an impact. And he gets on the end for one himself. But the thing with kicking, you see, when there's nothing on in front of you, when you're not going forward, you've got to kick. And sometimes a kick is not going to go out. Sometimes it's not going to be that much of an attacking kick, but sometimes you don't have any option at all. So you've got to relieve the pressure somehow. But some lovely kicks there. What a cameo performance from him.
Yeah.
Him and
what an impact.
Him and Ben Youngs. You know, it's very good to have that combination, isn't it? I often think it was very similar when you had Mike Phillips and Dwayne Peel.
Yeah. I still want Dan Robson to get a go at some point.
Yeah.
I think he's so good.
Now, for me, right, the game of the weekend, Scotland, New Zealand.
Yeah, gutted I am. I would love them to win that. See Doddy Weir pre-match walking out with his sons.
What a moment.
Jeepers.
I know. And he spoke so well as well to Sonny McLaughlin.
Oh, did he? I didn't see that.
Yeah. Really, really
what
well.
What a bloke.
Yeah, what a bloke.
But the game, Stuart Hogg, how good is Stuart? Was Stuart Hogg getting the All Blacks team?
Yeah. I think you probably have him over McKenzie.
So, quite something that, considering how good the All Blacks are.
Oh, mate.
I mean, I don't think All Blacks are actually as unbeatable as everyone thinks, but
I look at Stuart Hogg and I think, right,
they're pretty good.
You have amazing games. You cannot have another game like that. You know, you cannot get better than that.
Yeah.
But to have the game he did against the best in the world.
Yeah.
You know, he just keeps going and going and going. He's so fast, ball in hand. Finn Russell and him work really, really well together.
Yeah, lovely.
Finn Russell's, he's the one with the vision, really, that's putting it behind. He's pulling the strings, putting it behind the forwards to Stuart Hogg, who's deep. And then Stuart Hogg's got unbelievable feet. Just picks out who's in front of him. Always running at forwards, really. Stepping inside, using his agility and his step. But Scotland were in it right all the way, really. Especially in the first half. I think they were draw in the first half going in, or were they 3 points up? I can't quite remember.
One of them.
But the All Blacks came out second half firing. Taylor scores a try. Just standard sort of All Blacks play. Always have people in the wide channels. The hooker.
Yeah.
Taylor in the wide channel. Glory hunting. Gets on the end. And then they have another try then very quickly after. There's a drive and Sonny Bill grubbers at 12. You don't often see that on the line. It's normally the 10 or the 9 that puts it through.
Yeah.
But when the pass goes from 9 to 10 to 12, the fullback is pegging it round to the corner, so there's no cover from behind, because last thing you think teams are going to do when it goes into 12's hand is grubber.
Yeah.
Puts it through, and McKenzie gets on that. But to beat the All Blacks, you've got to do something different. And Scotland had a penalty right on the All Blacks 5 metre line. Instead of kicking for goal, a couple of tap penalties, a couple of phases through, and Johnny Gray goes over. I think it's Johnny Gray. Who's the other one?
Richie Gray.
Yeah, Johnny Gray. He goes over. But
how, I wish they won that, mate.
How are you meant to defend? Have you seen Sonny Bills out the back to McKenzie?
Can't defend
to
that.
Barrett.
You can't defend that. It's beautiful. It's just beautiful.
You can't go high on Sonny Bill.
Hear Nick Mullins' commentary when it goes in. He just shouts, "This is liquid black." He's just amazing. Oh. He always finds the right words.
But
liquid black.
But fair play to the Scots, right? They dig in. They come back. Hogg again, ball in hand, puts a little grubber through. Not a long one, just
probably a little one, just enough.
10-15 metre grubber. Yeah. Pops up into Seymour's hands. Lovely pass inside to Hugh Jones, who he had a great Six Nations last year.
Mm.
Watch out for him. I think he was a little bit unlucky not to go on the Lions tour.
You watch out for him.
And then?
Yeah, but he got when he did have a good Six Nations, but then England ripped him apart.
Yeah,
Jonathan Joseph humiliated him, genuinely.
I'm
humiliated
not sure if he got
him.
Injured or not. But
defensively.
But then Hogg at the death.
Oh god!
Line break and
what a line break though. he's unbelievable.
Bowden Barrett must be the quickest 10 out there.
Yeah,
special player, tackles him in the touch and unfortunately goes forward.
Bastard.
But
anyway,
so many
hell
good
of a game.
I love Ali Price and Finn Russell at halfbacks. I think they're the most dangerous two for Scotland.
Yeah,
pull all the strings. Hogg at 15, Hugh Jones in the centre, Dunbar at 12 as well.
Like him.
He gets injured.
Well, we like him, though.
But yeah, but this Scotland team, massive change.
100%.
Huge change. From, you sort of saw it last year with Vern Cotter.
Yeah, I don't know. I say 100%. I thought they were great under Vern Cotter, personally.
Yeah, they were, but I think it took a while for us to see that. And I think last year's Six Nations, we really got a glimpse of how good they could be.
Mm.
Big talking point was Naholo and not getting a yellow card for tackling Stuart Hogg in the air. He sort of gets shepherded out the way a little bit by Ali Price.
What are your thoughts, Tom?
There's contact when Stuart Hogg is in the air. He lands on his back. It should have been a yellow card in my book.
Well,
so Scotland can
they never yellow card
unlucky.
All Blacks, do they? Do they? Christ's sake.
But a good game. And, you know, New Zealand were put under a lot of pressure there.
Good.
And
good.
I'm not sure if that's good or bad for Wales.
Well, no, Wales are... Let's conclude this section by saying Wales are in a whole world of shit, okay?
I think we should just quickly mention that Ireland beat Fiji, although that was quite a close game.
Game a bit of a scare. Good stuff.
And the French lost to...
South Africa. The French... South Africa are a shambles at the moment, sadly. France are an absolute shambles. And the main reason for that is that if you could select anyone worse to run your national team than Philippe Saint-André, then they've managed it in selecting Guy Noves, who, let's face it, is Toulouse are my favourite team growing up. Toulouse and Bath are my favourite teams. I love Toulouse, still do. He was past his sell-by day at club level. I mean, 5 years ago, 7 years ago, absolute shambles. So they get him in 10 years too late to do the French job. It's embarrassing.
I would like to see Guy.
It's absolutely embarrassing.
I'd like to see Guy on The Apprentice. I think that'd be really good.
Guy Noves.
Yeah, I think
Guy Noves.
Yeah, I think that'd really show him up for his true character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't watch The Apprentice. Trash. I don't watch trash.
Right, David. We're gonna do something a little bit different. We're gonna try and incorporate some of our questions on Twitter into the Premiership results from the weekend.
Okay.
Yes.
Good luck to you. Because I've got a new phone, iPhone 8 Plus, and I don't yet have the Flats and Shanks Twitter account on it.
Really?
So I've forgotten the password.
Oh,
so
mate, it's been going wild
ever since
our Georgian video online.
Bloody mad, isn't it?
Ever since it was shown on network TV.
I didn't think Gabby Logan was... I thought she was a bit nonplussed with our video, actually.
I don't know if she liked it.
No.
Or maybe she... really liked myself in a onesie.
No, that's not it.
Was trying to make it too obvious that she didn't like it. Do you know what I mean? Give us a roundup, really, if you can.
All right, let's do it quick. Amazing resilience from Gloucester at home at King's Home to Leicester to Saracens, who were really strong in the first half.
Strong Saracens team
Saracens
as well.
Saracens super strong, and Gloucester held them out. Don't know how. Second half, absolute turnaround. Amazing performance from Gloucester. Thought they were fantastic. Hudson. Can they back it up? Don't know. Hudson at the back scored a lovely try on the angle, didn't he, in the Anglo-Welsh last week. Carried that through. They've given him a start at 15. He was fantastic. Not just good for a rookie, properly good, properly confident and alpha. Really like watching him play. Savage in the second row was great. Ackerman at 8 is, there's rumours he's going to play, try and play for England, like this Brad Shields guy, who's a Kiwi, former Kiwi New Zealand under-20s player, who plays for the Hurricanes, I think, and he has turned down a position in the All Blacks squad to come to England, try and get the England team for the World Cup, and I heard today that Wasps have signed him.
Really?
Yep, he's flat out going for England, coming over. Ackerman apparently might go for England as well, really good player. Vellacott come off the bench, was fantastic at scrum half.
Wasps, there we go. Hammered Newcastle.
Wasps hammered Newcastle. Oh, by the
did
way.
Did not see that coming.
By the way, before you go on, they've stuck, Gloucester stuck Henry Trindle on the wing. Don't do that again. Leave him at 13. He's the best 13. Why move him?
They used to say
hardly
that.
Saw him.
They used to say that about me whenever they put me on the wing.
No one ever said that.
Sonotti, jumping into a tackle.
So good they named him twice.
Jumping into a tackle.
Yeah.
Jumps into Eastman.
Yeah,
naughty. Who had a very good game.
Eastman back after a long injury.
New haircut.
Limped off for the end, though, unfortunately. He was class.
You cannot jump into a tackle like that.
No, can't do it.
Do you remember Tuilagi getting yellow carded against Japan? Somewhere against Japan in the World Cup for bracing himself, going into a tackle?
No.
Oh, he does. It was massive hoo-ha over that because he basically takes a step into a tackle like you do.
Yeah.
Like all the good Samoans do, all the big wingers like that.
Mm.
And he gets penalised. I'm sure he gets a yellow card. But Sonotti literally jumps into Eastman.
Yeah, not cool.
No.
Not cool, mate. Eastman was really good. Gopeth and Eastman were played lovely. Josh Bassett scored a lovely try. They smashed Newcastle away, really. And Newcastle were on great form. But Wasps are, they're getting there. They're properly getting there.
Yeah, they are.
Which is nice. Again, as we said, but London Irish Bath today was, it wasn't dross, but it was, I mean, jeez.
I saw Banahan score his first try, and he literally,
there's
not even an effort to tackle him.
De Chavez did not want to tackle him.
I'm sure I can hear someone shout, touch!
Yeah. Honestly, cool, touched you.
Philip Orbell on Twitter, why have Saints gone downhill so much since winning the Prem and what needs to change? Now, we had a go at the Saints in the first game at the Prem, didn't we, against Saracens, we got hammered. But then they put a string of 3 or 4 games together where they properly redeemed themselves and everyone was saying, well,
they won,
they're fine.
Yeah, I know, they've lost their last 3 in the Prem. Yeah. Do you know what's an interesting one? And there are probably loads of answers that might work.
Also, Robbo on Twitter wants to know about this as well.
Yeah, I've always found their recruitment a bit, not puzzling. I kind of think, I always feel like they should do a bit more. I kind of want them as a neutral. I want them to do a bit more recruiting. They finally went large on Pika Mole. He made a massive difference to the club because he's a brilliant player.
And then he just left.
And then left for the money and wanted to go home, whatever, fair enough. But, you know, and they've signed Heinrich Brousseau now, who is, okay, he might be a financial replacement for Pika Mole. He might take some of that cash, but he's not the same player. He's not going to have the same image. He's going to nick you a lot of ball, but he's not going to smash the Premiership to pieces like Pika Mole did. So there's a bit of that. I think it's primarily personnel, actually. They've got some really good players, but they've got a couple of guys who are not the players they were. So the PC brothers, who are wonderful, but Ken PC got absolutely licked by Josh Adams at the weekend on the wing. He was fantastic. So was Bryce Heen for Worcester. But you just think they've got a couple of guys. Foden is still a good Premiership player, but he's not the player he was. And you just think at some point they've got to, you know, bring a new cycle through. And is it there or are they willing to pay for it? That's kind of how I kind of look at it. But Worcester, remember I said to you on Friday at that lunch in town?
Yeah.
I said, you know what, have a look at the Worcester team sheet. Remember I said that to you?
Yes, you did.
I said, that is a proper team. That's a proper team. And I said, not only do I reckon they'll beat Saints at home, I don't reckon anyone beats that team at Six Ways if they're all fit and firing, especially if Bentio comes back at 13. Wouldn't put him at 12 because Ryan Mills is so good at 12 when he's got Lance and Hugard inside him. I wouldn't drop Ryan Mills for anybody at the moment. Thought he was class. And you got Pennell, Heem, Josh Adams. You got Shona at 3, massively important. Will Spencer, who was in the Bath Academy when I was at Bath. He was fantastic. Van Veltzer. They've got a proper, proper team. And I honestly looked at that team sheet and the very first thing I thought when I saw it on Friday afternoon was
Uvavu.
London Irish are screwed.
Okay.
That's what I actually thought.
Yeah.
And I kind of hope I'm wrong, but someone's got to go down.
Merry old Tom and Dylan Williams. Dylan Williams is talking about Harlequins being underachievers. Merry old Tom on Twitter saying just watching Woodburn. Who is the best uncapped wing in the Prem? Let's just talk about Exeter quickly and Quins.
Yeah, a really interesting game, actually. In
Exeter, slick.
Rob Baxter said Exeter weren't quite at it, but they were slick. They looked great in patches. Phil Dolman was exceptional.
He was. It was a lovely back move play as well for the Woodburn try. I think that was the second try of the game. Alofa just gets a little bit of no man's land, doesn't end up taking anyone, really comes in too late, and it's a simple, really, 2-1, but a good finish by Woodburn.
Really good. Marcus Smith, I thought, looked really good for Quins. And I think Quins underachievers. I mean, they won the Prem with kind of a style that was a new style to the Prem. And you're always going to get sort of caught out a bit the season after that. People prepare more for you and that sort of stuff. But if you call them underachievers, I mean, in real terms, in, you know, brutal terms, commercial terms, how much money do they spend on their... I mean, how many big players do they sign? If you're doing what Sarri's did years ago when we were young kids there, which is sign every big name on the planet and not win anything, that's underachieving. Saracens signed shed loads of big names and they win all the time, so that's the achievement. Exeter, you know, whatever. Quins, I don't think they underachieve because I don't think they
pay top dollar for the players they've got.
So I don't think they underachieve. I think they try and maximise, they wring out every ounce of effort and performance they can from what they've got largely.
But Woodburn was good. He was good in the tackle area. He makes tackles. He gets back on his feet. He turns over. He tries saving tackle.
See that? Try saving on Horwell. That was so good.
I know. So who would be the best uncapped wing in the Prem?
Woodburn, close. Alex Lewington. Cochran, a singer, by the way, looked really good for Irish today, but he's not there yet. He's a pup. So you've got Woodburn. Who else have you got? Talk to me.
Who's
Allinson? I like is that you?
Sale.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think who you've got that uncapped. Yeah, it's Woodburn or Lewington, isn't it? I'm probably thinking there's probably someone obvious that I haven't thought of.
I'm trying to think of it in the Pro 14, but basically
for me the answer's Ollie Woodburn. I mean, he's a top player.
Everyone's been capped in Wales. There are no uncapped players playing in the Pro 14. Every single player's been capped.
Is that true?
No, but amazing. Near enough.
Yeah, well, there are hardly any players in Wales, so it stands to reason if you're a decent player, you're going to get capped, and if you're a good player, there's a good chance you're going to get a lot of Welsh caps.
I'm trying to because you look at the teams.
There's hardly any players there.
You know, Alex Cuthbert. If Tom James is probably one that probably should have had more caps than he's got because he plays so well for his club every week. He gets a lot of injuries, and I always remember, was it last year, the year before, he gets caught. He gets a ball in space. He's charging down a touchline against Scotland. And I think Dunbar actually gets him on the angle. No, not Dunbar.
Duncan Taylor.
Duncan Taylor gets him on the angle. And Duncan Taylor's fast, mind.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
And he's never been picked since.
But if you think about it, he's also in the era of a couple of freaky wingers. So he straddled
George North, Shane Williams,
Cuthbert when he was on fire, that sort of stuff. So he's in an era, but he's also in an area. So if you take, say, if you talk about props, you take Paul James, for example.
Yes.
Who's probably got 70-odd caps now.
I think so, yeah.
Right. He's in the era of... He was at exactly the same era as Gethin Jenkins, one of the most freakishly talented props ever. Not necessarily a world-beating scrummager, or not a world-beating scrummager most of the time, but an amazing player. But props come off in every game, or loads of games, so you get loads of caps off the bench.
Yeah.
And props need resting more than wingers because it's a harder job. So wingers go on and stay on. Not many wingers come off. So if you're the same position as George North, there is every chance, if he is fit, you ain't adding up caps.
Yeah, no, very true. Chris on Twitter says, do you think Bigger coming on at 15 rather than replacing Priestland tells us anything? No, Tommy, I don't.
No.
He just came on really as just trying to steady the ship, a bit of game management. It didn't really happen that way. I think Bigger will start. I think Owen Williams will start. I'm not sure whether Tyler Morgan is fit or not at the moment. If he's not fit, it doesn't look like he is. Otherwise, he probably would be playing at on Saturday. They'll start with Scott Williams. And then I hope it's Lee Halfpenny on one wing, Steph Evans on the other, and Liam Williams at 15. I don't think they'll make too many changes up front. Hopefully, Reece Webb is fit.
Bet you Halfpenny's at 15.
I don't bet with gamblers. Maybe. Yeah, Well, look, I hope Liam Williams is 15.
Ellis Genge scored a quality try inside line for Leicester. Super sharp. Marlon Yard scored. I mean, running, I could have scored it. But at least he scored on debut. Some interesting stuff happening around the Prem. Sale pushed Leicester really, really close and play really well away from home. It is their 11th loss on the bounce away from home, but they still actually put on a really good show. So they can, you know, they can take something from that.
We had a bet of the week last week, which was England by 5 points or more.
Scraped it.
Yeah, scraped it.
So the kids of children in need, the children in need have got money this week from Leo Vegas, haven't they?
Yeah. So we're
well done them.
I'm just looking through the fixtures now on my phone.
Yeah, okay. It's high tech stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So who should we bet on this week?
Let's bet on the Wales New Zealand game.
No, I reckon.
Come on.
I reckon Scotland Australia.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's an interesting game.
So who do you think is going to win that?
I think Australia are going to win that.
Same.
I really want Scotland to win it.
I think Scotland will be very obviously very happy
50,
with the way
60 minutes
with the way they played on Saturday, and they've sort of seen that as a huge step forward. But I think Australia will be hurting way more than Scotland, because Scotland never ever thought they were going to win that game. Really, you know, when you play in New Zealand, you never really think it's going to be that achievable. You think you've got a chance, and you think you go out there and think you're going to win, but really, realistically, it's a tough ask to beat a team like New Zealand. Whilst Australia, wow, they're going to be hurting from Saturday.
All right, Australia by how many? I'm going to say
10.
You and I are so on the same level. It is spooky.
Do you watch TV?
Yeah.
Me too.
Do you like stuff?
So we're going to go. So Leah Vegas, bet of the week is Australia to beat Scotland by 10 points or more. Terms and conditions do apply. Make sure you are over 18.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, we haven't done a... We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it now. We haven't done a debrief of our live pod last week with Sam Warburg's son of Gatlin Warburton.
We'll do it next week, shall we?
Yeah. The one thing my feedback is to the crowd is that I think I swore too much. I was uncomfortable with the amount I swore on that pod.
And I think I ummed and ahed too much.
No, I listened to it and your umming and ahing made me seasick. It was awful. No, I didn't even notice it.
I'm going to find myself.
Michelle debriefed me and she said she really liked it, but the two things she didn't like were my language and the fact that we introduced Sam Warburton and then didn't speak to him for 5 minutes.
I was thinking that.
Yeah, but then I sort of spoke to Sam at Twickenham yesterday. I was like, do you notice that? He was like, yeah. I was like, when am I going to get in here? And then I went to speak and my mic was off. That peanut blog never even put it on. Yeah, one job he had.
From Pontypridd, is he?
Yes. Yes. Yes, he is.
Right. Anyway, hope you all have a great week. Speak to you in a week's time.
I'm going home to have some bolognese tonight.
Is that?
Yeah. Ta-ra.
I've just had 12 nuggets.
Oh, God.